Hello and welcome back to the Cincy is My Passion podcast in partnership with the News Record at the University of Cincinnati. And this is a podcast where I talk about sports for an undisclosed amount of time and don't upload consistently enough at all ever. And yeah, so I meant to record on the Monday, three days from today. When this is being recorded, Thursday, March 21st, to preview the NIT and WNIT. But the NIT has happened. The first round of the NIT has happened for Cincinnati Bearcats, men's basketball team. And it was definitely a match I probably should have previewed, seeing how it went, but neither here nor there. We're going to jump right into things and start off with a pretty hot topic, if you want to call it that, with the Cincinnati Reds. They are dropping like flies. It's really not looking great. Matt McClain is slated to miss opening day. TJ Friedl is out with an injury, and Nouvelle Marte is suspended 80 games and the postseason should the Reds make it, due to, I want to say, substance abuse performance enhancement situation with performance enhancement drugs and things of that nature. So he's out for 80 games, and there's been a lot of changes that have been going on within the Reds lineup. Most recently, Santiago Espinal from the Toronto Blue Jays. He was traded. He's a second baseman for the Blue Jays. He was a fantastic baseball player. I haven't done too much research on that, to be completely transparent, but it was a very recent happening with the Cincinnati Reds organization, but it was said by Nick Kroll, the Cincinnati Reds, that this was in direct relation to Matt McClain being injured. So more on that as time goes on, but the Cincinnati Reds still in the midst of their spring training, about to wrap up, and opening day is a week from today, which is March 21st of 2024. Opening day against the Washington Nationals is next Thursday, and that should be an interesting time to see who makes the opening day roster and who is down at Great American Ballpark by the time everything rolls around moving forward into next week. But that's your quick update for the Cincinnati Reds. We're going to move on to FC Cincinnati really quickly, as they are officially out of the CONCACAF Champions Cup. They lost 2-1 to Monterrey in the second leg of the round of 16. They would lose 3-1 on aggregate, which is unfortunate, but I feel like they played the best against any Liga MX team within the field, especially the best Liga MX team in the field and also the number one seeded team in CONCACAF. So wins are there, but obviously the loss probably stands out a little bit more, as they would lose 3-1, but I feel like there were plenty of chances for Cincinnati to pull ahead of Monterrey, especially in the first leg of the match. Again, in the first leg of the CONCACAF round of 16, there were about three or four chances within that match alone where they should have scored, and it would have been 3-1 Cincinnati, and the only real goal just squeezed past Roman Celentano. That was a goal that you could prevent, but things like that happen, so it's not exactly the worst thing. It just, you know, things happen, and Cincinnati would go on to lose the first match 1-0, and then would go on to lose the second match 2-1. Wouldn't be able to crawl back, especially facing the aggregate, but that just means that since CONCACAF Champions Cup is done, they can focus on the regular season, which this past weekend, they would defeat New England Revolution 2-1 with goals that were scored 2 minutes apart of each other. Yuya Kubo and Lucho Acosta would score in the 52nd and 54th minutes, respectively. Two crazy goals, to be honest. Kubo's was more of a, like, confusing sequence that no one really knew who scored, but then it got credited to Yuya, and it would give Cincinnati the 1-0 lead, and then 2 minutes later, Lucho would he would launch a free kick on the ground. It caught no air. It was just a line drive across the ground, and the keeper just didn't do it. I don't think it was a goal that anyone really expected Lucho to take it. I'm sure everybody thought that he was going to try and arc that one in, but Acosta catching everyone off guard, scoring that that second goal to put Cincinnati up 2-0, and then New England would pull back within one, and Cincinnati's defense would lock down and eventually would earn their first win against the New England Revolution since 2019, as FC Cincinnati would move on to 2-2 and 0 with 8 points on the year so far. New England Revolution drops to 0-0 and 4, and Cincinnati will come back home for a match against New York City FC, which is coming up on this Saturday, which is 2 days from now. It's a 7:30 kick on Apple TV, and I mean, this is as good of a time as ever for Cincinnati to get 3 points at home. Still looking for their first goal at home. They've only had two draws at home, and they've had their only two wins on the road against the Chicago Fire and New England Revolution. So a win against New York City FC would definitely spark a potential home winning streak for Cincinnati as they come into this one. Looking at the last 5 games between these two clubs, FC Cincinnati has won the last 3. 3-0, 3-1, and 1-0. Most recently in MLS play and once in the U.S. Open Cup last season. And then the other 2 of the last 5 have been draws, 1-1 and 4-4 back in 2022. So statistically, it's looking a lot in favor of Cincinnati, as also scored more goals than New York City FC, 4-3. Goal differential is Cincinnati's 2 to New York City to NYCFC's -3. Goals against Cincinnati's only allowed 2 to NYCFC's 6. So statistically, it all points towards Cincinnati. It all looks like an orange and blue win coming into Saturday, but you never know. That's something that you can never rule out, is that it's any given day that these teams can, that NYCFC can just have an incredible day and bring home 3 points, as they are coming off a win 2-1 against Toronto last weekend. New York City FC sitting with 3 points in the MLS standings. FC Cincinnati sitting in third with 8 in the Eastern Conference. Inter Miami and the Columbus Crew both tied at the top with 10. So going into the weekend, a big matchup for FC Cincinnati to claim 3 more points and hopefully see the Columbus Crew and Inter Miami at least get 1, if not no points on the weekend. So not the highest stakes, but it's looking like it could mean something, especially early in this season as teams are getting settled into league play of the 2024 MLS season. And I know that the League's Cup schedules have been released to some extent. I know that the first match is on August 1st and the second is on August 8th for Cincinnati, both at home, one against the Liga MX side, and then the second's actually against NYCFC. So there will probably be three times that Cincinnati plays NYCFC again this season, just like it was last season, except the tournament play against NYCFC in 2023 was on the U.S. Open Cup. But due to MLS taking out their first teams out of the U.S. Open Cup, you don't have that tournament. So due to schedule congestion, whatever. I'm still bitter. I'm still very bitter. I think that the U.S. Open Cup should still be with MLS first teams, and they should allow anybody within U.S. soccer to be playing in the U.S. Open Cup. But that's its own discussion on a different podcast that I'm sure exists somewhere. I would love to, I might do an episode and a segment on the U.S. Open Cup, but especially with the significance that it has with FC Cincinnati. But that is not the topic of discussion for today, as we move on to the NIT and WNIT, which are two of my big topics to look at coming into the back half of this episode, as we'll start off with the men's side. Cincinnati beating San Francisco 73-72 on a last-second buzzer beater from Simas Lukosius. He would finish with 28 points, 9-15 from the field. And it was a back-and-forth game that I think nobody really thought would be a trap game coming into it. I think that a lot of people thought that Cincinnati would wipe the floor with San Francisco. San Francisco coming in from the WCC, finished third in their conference behind St. Mary's and Gonzaga. Cincinnati finishing in 11th in the Big 12, 20-14 on the year. But I don't think that people really thought that it was going to be as close as it was, especially coming down to the final seconds. And I remember watching it. I was watching it last night while I was playing Helldivers 2, actually. So I was in the middle of fighting bugs, and then I look over and I see Seamoth hit the three, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what in the world is happening? I literally had to tell my friend to protect me for a second so I could have a second to freak out. But it was a showing that I feel like there were instances where the team seemed like they weren't as into it as maybe they should have been, or that could have just been, and it could have been any of a million reasons. I don't want to point fingers or accuse anybody of anything, but there were instances where it felt like people would, some of the players didn't really want to be there, but you never know. Maybe something else was going on. Maybe they're, you know, rough day. Things happen. I hate to accuse a team of not wanting to be there, because I'm sure that they do. I'm sure that they want to be there. Anyway, I digress. But Cincinnati would pull forward just enough and keep themselves in it to force overtime and then win on a last second buzzer beater to advance to the second round of the NIT. Like I had mentioned, Simas Lukosius finishing with 28 points on the day, 9-15 from the field, 8-10 from three, with a perfect 2-for-2 from the line. Cincinnati as a team would shoot 11-30 from three. San Francisco would shoot 9-22, good enough for 40.9% from three. But overall, a good game. Cincinnati was favored in that one by 7.5. So San Francisco would go and cover that spread over 144.5. But a really, really strong showing from Cincinnati, especially late. They went into halftime leading by 3, 38-35, and would be outscored in the second half, 32-29, but would outscore San Francisco 6-5 in overtime to get the win. Cincinnati Bearcats would advance to take on the number 3-seeded Bradley Braves after they took down Loyola Chicago last night, as this is being recorded on Thursday, by a score of 74-62. I feel like that one also was a really close one throughout. I feel there were so many close games in the NIT last night. Indiana State and SMU were tight. There were a handful of others as well. It just had really close scores, and SMU and Indiana State holds a lot, because Indiana State was the one seed, and if you go down to the bottom half of the bracket, the other number one seed on Cincinnati's side, Villanova, lost to VCU 70-61. So the only number one seed left in the tournament on Cincinnati's side is Indiana State. Seton Hall and Wake Forest both still with number one seeds in the tournament. So if Indiana State were to lose and Utah were to lose as well, which Utah would beat UC Irvine 84-75 in the first round of the NIT, Cincinnati would host all the way up until the semifinals that are held at the Hinkle Fieldhouse on April 2nd, then the finals on April 4th, also at the Hinkle Fieldhouse in Indiana. But there's a very real possibility that either Cincinnati beats Bradley and advances to the quarterfinals, and Minnesota beats Indiana State, and then Cincinnati hosts Minnesota either March 26th or 27th. Or Indiana State beats Minnesota and Cincinnati will go to Indiana State and play against the Sycamores at their place and fight for a spot in the semifinals of the NIT, and you're either facing VCU, South Florida, Iowa, or Utah, and pretty interesting lineups or interesting matchups coming into the semifinals as well. If South Florida makes it, you've got the Bearcats going up against former AAC conference mate in South Florida, and if Utah makes it, then you have Cincinnati going up against future Big 12 member in Utah. So either way, good matchups looking ahead at the semifinals if Cincinnati were to make it there, as South Florida was performed very well in the American Athletic Conference this season, and Utah performing well as well in the Pac-12 and the Pac-12's final season. I imagine it'll be disbanded coming into next season, the next fall sports season, soccer, volleyball, football, and all those sports. But the NIT looking to shaping up to be a real, real interesting one as you look at the other side of the bracket as well. Seton Hall, North Texas, Boston College, UNLV, Wake Forest, Georgia, Virginia Tech, and Ohio State all still in it on the left side of the bracket. And if you want my honest opinion, I say Ohio State makes it all the way. They're a real other contender for making it to the championship round is probably Seton Hall. But I honestly anticipate Seton Hall and Ohio State making it to the semifinals and facing off against either Cincinnati or USF. I feel like those are your two to watch out for coming into this one. And obviously Indiana State has a case to make for making it to the NIT semifinals and the finals as well. But I feel like Cincinnati's really has a shot to win the entire thing. It's just they have to get their mind right and be able to go into the second round with the right mentality to end up going to the quarterfinals and beyond of the NIT. So a lot on the line for Cincinnati. As we flip over to the women's side of things now, is the Cincinnati women's team also has made their first WNIT since the 2018-19 season and earned a first-round bye in the tournament, and what is slated to play against the winner of EKU and Purdue-Fort Wayne, which Purdue-Fort Wayne played yesterday and would go on to beat the Eastern Kentucky Colonels 83-75. This is Purdue's first postseason tournament win ever, as they win in the first round of the WNIT 83-75 off of Amelia Broken-Schemkel scoring her 22 points on the night with 4 rebounds, 1 assist, and her 38 minutes on the floor. But it was a strong second half for Purdue-Fort Wayne, as they would end up pulling ahead. They would lead at halftime and then just pull away from Eastern Kentucky and solidify that win. And also an interesting thing to note too is both Purdue-Fort Wayne, the women's and men's side, are both advancing in their respective tournaments. The men's team for Purdue-Fort Wayne and the I believe the CIT advancing into the championship round, actually. So a fun nugget for Purdue-Fort Wayne out of the Horizon League is both their teams advancing in their respective tournaments. But Purdue-Fort Wayne now makes the trip south to Cincinnati and will face off against the Cincinnati Bearcats, who in their first season in the Big 12 went 14-17 overall, 5-13 in conference play, would lose in the second round of the Big 12 tournament 55-70 to West Virginia. West Virginia now in the NCAA Women's Tournament as well. They face off against, oh man, I saw tweets about this too, NCAA Women's Basketball Bracket, because there were a bunch of tweets about West Virginia wanting to send Iowa home, but they have to go through Princeton first, as they play Princeton on March 23rd at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. and then we'll face off against the winner of Iowa and a team to be named later is the round of 68, or the first four. My God, I don't know why it's called the round of 68. The first four for the women's tournament is still to happen as Holy Cross and as Holy Cross and UT Martin will face off in the first four today, as this is being recorded on the 21st at 9 p.m. Eastern time, and to determine who will face off against the number one seeded Iowa Hawkeyes, who I believe will go all the way and beat Iowa State in the championship round, because I believe Iowa State is a huge sleeper coming into the NCAA tournament on the women's side of things. But I digress, going back to talking about the Cincinnati Bearcats. They finished top five in a lot of statistical categories in rebounding, free throw shooting, three-point defense. It was an impressive first season for Cincinnati as they advanced to their first WNIT since 2019, where in that 2019 season, they would make it all the way to the Final Four of the WNIT, losing to eventual conference mate in TCU in that Final Four. So looking at this bracket, Cincinnati's quadrant of the bracket, they will face off against either Northern Iowa, Central Arkansas, Illinois State, USC Upstate, Wisconsin, or Southern Indiana. Southern Indiana, a team that Cincinnati already played this season, where they would win that one 58-56 in Evansville at Screaming Eagles Arena. But that is Cincinnati's bottom right quadrant as they look to go on a deep run in the WNIT. That game is on Sunday at 2 o'clock, and that will be on Fox Sports 1360. I'll be on the call for that one, so that's going to be a really fun one to watch and or listen to. And then if you look at the top half of the right side of the bracket, Providence, Colgate, Vermont, Niagara, I can never remember how to say that school's name, Buffalo, Purdue, and Butler, all within that top half of the bracket. And if you were to ask me, I feel like Cincinnati has a real case to push their way through and make a deep run into the WNIT. This tournament kicks off and makes its move, and I feel like if you look at the left side of the bracket as well, you've got Minnesota, Wyoming, Montana, UTSA, South Dakota, NC&T, Oral Roberts, among others on that left side of the WNIT bracket. But Minnesota stands out for me as well as potentially even Murray State or even UTSA to make deep runs on the left side and meet either Cincinnati or, pardon me, wants to say Wisconsin, or maybe even Purdue Fort Wayne, as much as I hate to say that, in making it to the finals or just a deeper run into the WNIT. Just as, I mean, Purdue Fort Wayne had their first postseason win ever coming into the weekend against Eastern, or coming into today against Eastern Kentucky. So a real possibility for Purdue Fort Wayne to put up a fight against Cincinnati. But I do believe that Cincinnati takes it home in the first round, in the second round of the WNIT, at 2 p.m. on Sunday, March 24th, just because they have that home crowd and they performed well at home as well. 8-7 at home, would only lose once at home in non-conference, and that would be the number 17th ranked Louisville in their season opener on November 6th. So I really do believe that Cincinnati has a case for advancing pretty deep into this WNIT and here in 2024, and to take advantage of their first postseason tournament since 2019. So that about does it for my overall analysis of this, all of the different basketball tournaments and things of that nature. So I'll leave you with my parting words and see you guys next time. Make sure you tune in on Sunday, March 24th at 1:45 p.m. Eastern time as the Cincinnati Bearcats take on the Purdue Fort Wayne Mastodons on Fox Sports 1360. I'll be on the call for that matchup for Cincinnati's first WNIT since 2019. And make sure to tune in to the Bearcats matchup against the Bradley Braves on Saturday at 2 p.m. That one on ESPN Plus and 700 WLW. Dan Horde and Terry Nelson on the call for that one. Not sure who's going to be on TV for that one as well. And make sure you watch Cincinnati as they take on NYCFC on Saturday at 7:30. That one's on Apple TV. I'm not sure if it's free or not. But that does it for the eventual episode 2 of the Cincy Is My Passion podcast. I'm your host, Ethan Herzog. This is in partnership with The News Record at the University of Cincinnati. You can check them out at www.newsrecord.org. Again, that's www.newsrecord.org. And you can check out all of their articles and things of that nature. And some of mine as well. I have a handful of articles posted on The News Record's website. But that does it, and I will see you guys next week with some more Cincy sports. This has been Cincy Is My Passion. See you guys next time.